Earth, sky.
We're using satellites to monitor our environment, and that's invaluable for detecting change. And that's what we're dealing with here. We're looking at change from the impact of the oil. So it's whether it's the short-term events like the Gulf oil spill or even longer-term effects like climate change scenarios, it's very important to have those sentinels in space, the satellites that provide that global-scale view of our planet.
You're listening to Michael Goodman, Natural Disasters Program Manager for NASA at the Marshall Space Flight Center. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Goodman explained how NASA satellites and aircraft were used to get the big picture of the 2010 oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. He spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Mr. Goodman, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Now, NASA satellites and aircraft have tracked the Gulf oil spill of 2010 since day one. What would you say are the main findings from above of the oil spill?
Well, I'd say that NASA satellites, we were able to monitor the progression of the oil spill from the initial blowout on April 20th and throughout the summer months through May, June, July, as the oil slick grew and spread and impacted the coastal ecosystems along the Gulf Coast. But in addition to our satellites, we utilized aircraft. We have several instrument aircraft that provided a little higher resolution images of the oil spill. And we were able to distinguish areas where there were high concentrations of oil versus the thinner oil sheen that has much of a lower impact on the Gulf ecosystems. When we say oil sheen, we've all seen a puddle of oil on the roadside, and you see that rainbow veil of oil that's in the oil stain. That oil sheen spreads out far and wide, but it's in this case, it's much less damaging than the thick globs and ribbons and streams of emulsified oil and water mixture that was seen as coating either the animals or the vegetation. So it's important to identify and distinguish that the breadth and distribution of the oil sheen versus the thicker oil.
So NASA was not only able to see how far some oil had gotten and where it had gotten into, but also you're saying that NASA was able to tell, roughly speaking, about how much oil there was in that water. Was that right?
Yes, that was primarily done using the instrument aircraft. In particular, there was one instrument called the Airborne Visible Infrared Imaging Spectrometer. That's a mouthful, but we know it as AVRIS. And AVRIS flew in May and July and August and even September on a couple different aircraft, an ER-2 high-altitude aircraft and a lower-altitude Twin Otter. And the AVRIS measures both in the visible and infrared light in about 224 continuous frequencies. And by combining the different channels, the different frequencies, we're able to pull out that oil signature on water.
Tell us about how satellites were used to learn about the oil spill.
Sure. The primary satellite instrument that we utilized to identify the location and the presence and the spread of the oil was an instrument called the Moderate Resolution Imaging Spectroradiometer, also known as MODIS. And so that's how I'll refer to it as MODIS. Now, MODIS flies aboard two separate polar orbiting NASA satellites. We call those satellites, one's called Terra, and the other one's called Aqua. Now, a polar orbiting satellite does not stay stationary over one spot on the Earth. Rather, it travels from pole to pole, circling the Earth about 15 times a day. And in the process, it flies over the same area about twice a day. MODIS also has a visible and infrared sensors, and it's a moderate resolution imager. So it can see details down to about 250 meters, and between 250 meters and 1 kilometer. But it has a particularly wide swath, a field of view. And so as it circles the globe, it sees about 1,500 miles across as it passes over the region. So it was able to view a large portion of the Gulf of Mexico every day and over that incident site. Now, I must say that the clouds obscure the surface of the Earth, and so during particularly cloudy conditions, we couldn't make retrievals. But by and large, on most days, we were able to view the location and the spread of the oil spill. Also, because it had an infrared sensor, we also able to measure the heat, the sea surface temperature. And we found out that the oil does has a different temperature signal than the surrounding water. It's actually a bit cooler. So even at night, we could detect the presence of the oil because it shows up as a cold spot relative to the warmer Gulf Ocean water. And then one other interesting thing, we've used MODIS for determining sea surface temperatures. And we've been doing that for a long time. And we know that there's the Gulf Loop Current is an actually warmer tongue of water that comes from the Caribbean and enters on the western side of the Gulf and circles around and comes down the eastern side of the Gulf along the western coast of Florida. And there were some fears that oil would be caught up in that loop current, and then the oil would be carried out into the Atlantic. We don't believe that happened, but we were able to use the MODIS data to locate the loop current and also to track the oil as it spun around in the gyres of the Gulf of Mexico.
Earlier, the media reports indicate that you've said that NASA's observations of the Gulf oil spill aren't just for scientists, that the science has helped the public respond to the unfolding ecological disaster of the oil spill. Tell us more about what you meant by that.
NASA's satellite imagery and our aircraft data were not only used by scientists in monitoring the oil spill, but we also was provided to the information provided to the emergency responders that were to help direct the authorities where to place the oil booms and direct the oil skimmers to clean up the effort. But in addition, many of those satellite images were published in the daily newspapers, on broadcast television, and posted on the internet. And so although pictures of from the ground taken by photographers and television crews of the birds and mammals covered by oil or the beaches and the fishing areas certainly had an important and gripping effect, but to get a sense of the sheer size and the magnitude of the oil slick, that was best conveyed to the public through the large-scale satellite images.
You've been listening to Michael Goodman, Natural Disasters Program Manager for NASA. Our thanks today to NASA's AQUA mission, improving our knowledge of our home planet through satellite observations. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.